You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday. I don't know. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. One of these days, we will get out of the evening and back in the morning. I'm at least waking up at a decent hour in preparation for the season. Whatever circadian rhythm situations that I have that make it so it's close to impossible for me. A night owl, y'all. A lot of times I can't fall asleep till 3, but I'm still getting up at like 8:30 now. Season comes, it'll all be in the morning because I have no choice. Zero choice has to be done in the morning again, like it used to be once upon a time when we started this whole ordeal. All right, anyway, we had media availability today with 3 players. We'll recap some of that to start us off. I do want to get into ESPN. Bill Connolly did yet another thing. I didn't write about this, but he did an outlook kind of for projections, SP Plus projections for every team everywhere, but particularly Big Ten East, looking at Michigan and what he has there. So I want to get to that. I'll read you what he had to say. It is behind a paywall, so I'll give you what he said about Michigan, and then we'll discuss that. That'll probably take up all of our time, I would imagine. So don't want to add more to it. Not that there's a lot more to add. Anyhow, let's start off with a recap of where we are as far as the media availability today. We had Andrew Stuber, who I had spoken to a couple weeks ago. I don't think I really posted anything from him. He's got a lot to say, and it's a lot of really interesting stuff, but for some reason, I just didn't. Brad Hawkins and Ronnie Bell. So, funny thing is, like I said on the podcast recently, that there isn't any bombastic type of people on this team right now, and I actually had a colleague that messaged me during and said, is it just me, or is just they're not a lot of bombastic? I mean, you didn't say it in those exact words, but it was said the same thing I've been kind of saying. So there you go. Anyhow, it's getting really close to the season. So this is our first player availability outside of Big Ten Media Days. A couple interesting things came from the media availability. I think the most notable things, I mean, nothing's really groundbreaking, but we did, the first thing I went to write immediately was about how, as far as the defense and it being multiple, how it's helping prepare the offense. Because that's one of the things that I had heard a couple weeks ago, of just like, that's the benefit of having this very multiple defense, the defensive front. We've talked about it here on the podcast. So we talked about it in the media availability today. And Andrew Stuber really feels like, yeah, it's something that's really, really helping, because we are not only, you know, getting to prepare for teams we're going to see later. He's like, it's kind of like we're game planning for teams we're going to see later, but it's like, it's also, we have to game plan for the defense here in fall camp. We have to be on our toes. It isn't just like, oh, we know what's coming. We don't. So it sounds like mission accomplished for Mike McDonald, at least in the sense of they constantly are off guard. And I think that could be a huge, huge deal for the offense. If they could find a way to really, it's not even finding a way. If they can just understand kind of a little bit more of what teams are going to throw at them much earlier, because the idea of the Michigan defense is just, it's going to throw a lot at you. I think that could bode really well. Here's the thing is, like, when I started writing, I'm like, there's people that are going to say, yeah, they're, you know, it's the the reason why the offense is having success is because the defense sucks. And it's like, no, that's not at all what they're saying at all. It's not that they're not even saying, yeah, they're having a lot of great success. The thing about it is just helping prepare them, because they're just going to see a lot of different schemes, a lot of different fronts, a lot of different things, because Michigan, as far as under Mike McDonald, is going to just be so much more multiple. You're going to see man, you're going to see zone. Ronnie Bell talked about how it's just a little bit different, right? Because you don't kind of know what you're going to see when you're running out there. You've got to, you know, and under Don Brown, you knew you were going to be going up against corners that were going to be running with you, right? Man coverage. Not necessarily the case here. Yeah, there's going to be some man coverage. There's going to be some zone. It's going to confuse the heck out of defenses, it sounds like. And the good news is Brad Hawkins says, yeah, listen, it ain't that complicated. But then again, you wonder what they're going to say, right? Like, they're not going to say, like, so complicated, I just don't know that we're going to be ready by the start of the season. You know, you're not going to hear something like that. So it's kind of like a take things with a grain of salt type ordeal. The other interesting things I thought coming out of it was Ronnie Bell saying that the most challenging defensive back that he has to go up against is George Johnson. I'm assuming that means George Johnson is sticking at corner, because Jim Harbaugh said during Big Ten Media Days that he could be a corner, or they might move him to safety. They said they didn't really like the idea of like moving around so much, but he might be a better fit at safety. I mean, maybe he's at safety, maybe he's still at corner. But, I mean, that dude has had a transition as it is, right? He was a dual-threat quarterback coming out of Stuart, Florida, which I know exactly where that is because that's where my grandparents have their winter home, or near there, or Nettles Island. But Stuart is, like, where we'd go to dinner. Then you've got him moving to wide receiver once he arrived on campus. And then he switched. He's going through a Michael Barrett type situation, right? And it sounds like it's worked for Michael Barrett. Maybe things are working out for George Johnson. Maybe. Now, does that mean he's going to be in the running for like a ones or twos? Probably not. I mean, maybe twos. Ones, probably not. I guess we'll find out a little bit more tomorrow, because we'll be talking to Steve Klinkscale. So I think that there's a good chance that that's not the case. But, I mean, still, the fact that the guy is getting a mention from a player is notable. That's a good thing that they're starting to get to that. As far as impressing defensive backs, I asked Brad Hawkins who's impressed him. And he had said that R.J. Moat and Makari Page were the guys that were impressing him. I really would have liked to have heard Quentin Johnson or Jordan Morant in there, but Quentin Johnson's going into year three here, but he was injured his entire freshman year, so he didn't dress until the bowl game. So kind of a wash in that sense, but I'd like to hear his name at some point. I mean, dude was a four-star, got to play in the All-American Bowl and all of that. So, I mean, other than that, there wasn't anything that I thought was super crazy. Nothing that seemed like it was like, oh, man, this is groundbreaking. So, the only other thing is Andrew Stuber said, he has asked why he thinks the team will rebound, and it really is all about leadership. Said, like, they had this contagious energy. He's never seen that before in his 5 years, and it's really senior-driven from the fourth and fifth-year seniors and just making sure that everyone is on the same page, and he says it's trickled down from the top to the bottom. We've heard that over and over again, so you hope it is true. You wonder if it is. We won't know, obviously, until we see it. That's the unfortunate thing. All right. We'll talk about this ESPN piece. There's a lot to parse through, so we will get to that momentarily. But before we do, BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. College football is back in just 3 weeks. Less than 3 weeks, we have week zero, right? Because we're 24 days away from Michigan season opener. So you're going to want to get on it. But guess what? BetOnline even covers award show TV shows, reality TV, with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline also has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head over to betonline.ag to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's get to this ESPN thing. Bill Connelly, love Bill Connelly. Even though sometimes it doesn't seem like he loves me, I've been corrected more than once by him on Twitter. But nonetheless, let's go for it. Here's what he had to say about Michigan and the 2021 projections. Jim Harbaugh's Michigan tenure has been defined by high levels of achievement and an inability to beat Ohio State. That's true, but I feel like that first part, I guess we're just going to parse through part of it as we go along, but that first part is not how nationally or even locally it's being pushed, right? Like, high levels of achievement, I think that people have forgotten about the high levels of achievement. Well, because things get kind of muddied when you lose to Ohio State at the end of the season and then you lose your bowl game. It's been the case. They've lost every bowl game that they've appeared in, save for the first one. So you lose the first two games or last two games of the season. It doesn't feel very good. You're not riding high anymore. Anyway, in 2020, however, the Wolverines genuinely underachieved. Correct. Projected SP Plus rank is 23rd. So, I mean, that's probably higher than most people would think. Average projected wins is 7.3, fifth in the Big Ten. Okay, fair. Just for Indiana is put at 4.7 in the Big Ten, for instance. So Indiana's expected to be above. Likely wins are Northern Illinois, Rutgers. This is an order of highest chances to lowest. Northern Illinois, Rutgers, Western Michigan, Northwestern, and Michigan State. Relative toss-ups, again, most likely to least likely. Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska, Washington. Likely losses, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. Here's how I would put this. Because I think the likely wins, I think those are all accurate. Relative toss-ups, I'd keep Indiana in there. I'd keep Indiana and Washington in there. Maryland and Nebraska should be in likely wins. Indiana deserves to be in relative toss-up after the year it had last year. But in likely losses, I would move Penn State into relative toss-ups. I would keep Wisconsin in likely losses, even though that's the one that it says is most winnable for Michigan. Again, Michigan has beaten Penn State in Happy Valley in recent memory, in the Jim Harbaugh era. Michigan has not beaten Wisconsin in Madison since Lloyd Carr was the coach and still had 6 years left. So I don't think it's that bad. But he says some stuff about Ohio State that puts some of this into perspective, which I'll get to eventually. He continues, solid long-term results in recruiting mean that SP Plus gives the Wolverines the benefit of the doubt despite a 2-4 campaign. With four opponents projected 14th or better, even a top 25 performance might only produce a 7-5 record or so. So that's really disappointing. But again, that kind of goes with the 8-4 going back to 7-5 potentially. I mean, if he's saying 7.3, that sounds kind of like exactly that. What we learned about Michigan in 2020 is things can fall apart quickly. In the 7 years prior to Harbaugh's arrival, Michigan averaged an SP plus ranking of just 36.6, but the Wolverines immediately jumped to 10th in Harbaugh's first year and averaged a ranking of 9.8 over his first five seasons. Last year, the recipe for success fell apart. Defensive coordinator Don Brown had neither the pass rush nor cornerback play to execute his aggressive scheme, and Michigan went from allowing 20.7 points per game to 34.5. Meanwhile, a pair of new quarterbacks faltered. Joe Milton made too many mistakes and got benched for Cade McNamara, who was great against Rutgers but overwhelmed against Penn State. I wouldn't say he was overwhelmed. He wasn't looking like he was lighting the world on fire, but then he got injured. So I think that that's not taking everything into context, but when you're covering 130 teams, fair. You know, some nuance is going to get left out. Michigan topped 24 points only once after the season opened. Yeah, they got to be better. That's where I think the warm-ups is going to really help. With non-conference. Knowing he needed some new blood, Harbaugh dismissed Brown and brought in Mike McDonald, the former Ravens assistant under John Harbaugh. Milton and others transferred away after a year of pretty significant change on the two deep. Now comes more change both there and on the coaching staff. So, yeah, I just think a little bit of nuance is missing from that. But, I mean, he's not wrong overall. We've talked about Don Brown ad nauseum. We don't need to talk about it more, but I think that you're going to see the defense look a heck of a lot better. They still got the players. So, what we didn't learn about Michigan in 2020, who's the quarterback of the future? McDonald's not the only key addition. Harbaugh brought former Texas Tech quarterback Alan Bowman in as well. Bowman's career has constantly been sidetracked by injury, and it has rendered him inconsistent. I almost butchered that three times. He produced a raw QBR over 80 and under 35 in five games each. But he could assure a higher floor at the position if McNamara is not a consistent option. How many proven commodities are on the roster? Running back, Hassan Haskins is excellent. Receivers, Ronnie Bell and Cornelius Johnson have had their moments. Linebacker, Josh Ross is great, both rushing the passer and dropping into coverage. See, I agree with one of those, rushing the passer. Dropping into coverage, not so much. And cornerback Jamon Green, thrown into the fire, has won some battles here and there. The return of star edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson will help immensely, but with this schedule, any significant rebound in 2021 will require some tactical upgrades from McDonald and offensive coordinator Josh Gattis, plus breakthroughs from quite a few well-touted youngsters, second-year guys like receivers Blake Corum and A.J. Henning, and defensive backs Andre Seldon and Jordan Morant in particular. See, I think that's interesting because again, the lack of nuance, because those aren't the guys I would mention, right? Like I said earlier, we didn't hear about Jordan Morant. I haven't heard much about, like, even though A.J. Henning is a guy I think will break out, and I think Blake Corum is kind of in the same. I think a lot of people would probably say Roman Wilson as that guy. And as far as defensive backs, I know he just did all second year guys here, but and I guess that's fair, but, like, again, out of the safeties, Jordan Morant is the one that's not getting mentioned. Mekari Page and R.J. Moten were the ones who were mentioned, for instance. So, I don't know. That's pretty much it, because they have a Michigan's history in a chart. So, I do want to get to the thing he said about Ohio State that kind of puts some of this into perspective. But we will do that here in just a moment. First, I got to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I have bought so many boxes of this stuff. If you don't know what it is, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're so delicious that I have two at a time. But guess what? It isn't a candy bar. So I can do it relatively guilt-free and while working towards my goals nutritionally, because it is high protein, low calorie, low carb. I can have two of them. And they are still lower. It's still lower calorie than a lot of the leading meal replacement bars out there. And guess what? They're delicious. When I say it tastes like a candy bar, I am not even close to lying to you. I love the peanut butter brownie. That's my favorite. That one is a regular staple. There are some other special ones that come in and out. Coconut brownie chunk is another one of my favorites. That one's one that comes out every now and again. It's not a consistent regular flavor, but I am telling you, Built Bar is the way to go. You got to trust me on this. Go to built.com, put in promo code LOCK15, built.com, promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. of Built Bar. Trust me, take the plunge. I don't know what you're waiting for, and I'm going to keep talking because this promo is really fun to say because it's something I actually use and believe in that much. Built.com, promo code LOCK15. All right, so, of course, Ohio State's the favorite to win. Their likely wins are all of the games except for Oregon. Relative toss-up is the Oregon, that's it. Likely losses, none. Average projected wins is 9.4. See, I was reading that wrong when I said Michigan's fifth in the Big Ten. They were saying Michigan is expected to get 5 wins in the Big Ten. Because it says 6.9 wins in the Big Ten for Ohio State. So, essentially, it's saying, despite all of the likely wins, interestingly enough, saying that there's 2 games that they could lose. The 2 that are the lowest likely wins for Ohio State are at Michigan and Penn State. So, FYI. The thing that I thought was interesting, maybe it wasn't from the Ohio State piece. It was actually from the Penn State piece. So let me get to that here in a moment. Because Penn State, the weird thing is it has, well, it's not weird. It's because it does have a likely loss for Michigan at Penn State. And it does, so it has Michigan as a likely win for Penn State, which whatever. But what I think is interesting here is they bring up what Penn State, and actually it wasn't even in this article, it was in the other article in the, so I'm doing a terrible job here, sorry about that. I forgot that there was more than one article to read. So in the preview of the Big Ten East, because they have like a whole like section in the article that you use to get to that breakdown, they talk about Penn State. It says Penn State and Michigan both built themselves in a top 10 level programs in the late stage of the 2010s. And it mentions that Penn State had the success against Ohio State. I actually was right that I'm just missing where that article was. But regardless, they said like, hey, Penn State had the one good year. Finally, someone else says it. Penn State had one season in which they took down Ohio State. Otherwise, in that time frame, no one in the East has beaten Ohio State. That's what I was trying to get at. In a very, very weird backwards way, but that's what I was trying to get at. So, that's why I say, like, I can't predict that Michigan's going to have a shot at the end of the year. Could some cracks form in Ohio State? Again, they're just as questionable at quarterback. Maybe you feel a little bit better with Quinn Ewers. I believe he arrives on campus tomorrow. But what I think is interesting is if I was Ohio State, I would have been like, dude, you got to wait. I mean, maybe they did. Maybe they're scared to. You know, you want to get a guy on campus enrolled. You don't want to, you know, leave it out to chance that he doesn't show up, right? And getting your 2022 5-star number one overall guy on campus right now is probably, that's a big win because you don't get that chance of him not signing, you know? But now you've got this situation where it's like, how does Kyle McCord react? How does Miller react? How does CJ Stroud react? You know, they've got all of these quarterbacks. And who is it that said? I mean, I don't mean who originated this, but someone said to me recently, I believe on this podcast, but my memory, as you know, is shot. You don't, you know, if you have 2 quarterbacks, you have none. Well, guess what? Ohio State has 4. That's going to be an issue, potentially, or not. Or they're all going to be they're all going to win the Heisman every year, because that's how it works. Anyway, all right, that's going to do it for today. So, yeah, we will be back tomorrow with the mailbag. Get your questions in. I'm hoping to do the mailbag earlier than later. So get your questions in early just in case I make that dream come to be a reality. That'll do it for us. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you then. Peace.